We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Now look what Jesus, how Jesus answered Pilate. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power of all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee has the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that, saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing the cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put on the cross. And the writing said, was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and is written in Hebrew and in Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. I want to preach here this morning by the help of the Lord on very, very familiar scripture. We read this quite often. But if I would take a text this morning, my text would simply be Pilate the Compromiser. Pilate the Compromiser. Now, the Jews has finally gotten to Jesus Christ. Now, one of his own familiar friends at this time has betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, and we all know that that was the price of a slave during that time, was 30 pieces of silver, and so Judas had planted the betrayal kiss on the cheek of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus had been arrested, and he had become a political hot potato. And what I mean by a political hot potato is nobody wanted anything to do with him. And so they first brought him to Pilate, and Pilate asked, what crimes has this man committed? And the Jews answered, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have brought him to you. So though then Pilate sent him to Herod, who sent him back to Pilate. Now look at this, and Pilate wanted nothing to do here with Jesus Christ. He knew this man had not broken any Roman laws, yet he was forced to make a decision about his life or about his death. Now Pilate knew that the Jews were interested in nothing here but the death of the Lord Jesus. He knew that all they wanted was for him to put Jesus to death. So Pilate knew that if he let Jesus go, that he was going to have a political problem in his governorship. Now, the Jews had already risen up against him once, right after he came to Judea, and he knew that they would rise up against him again if he let Jesus of Nazareth go. So that was his first problem. If he didn't let him go, he would have a worse problem. You say, what would be a worse problem than that? We'll find in Matthew chapter 27 and 19, this is what Pilate's wife said. She said, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So Pilate was either going to have political problems at the office, or he was going to have problems with his nagging wife when he got home. Because she says here, either way, he didn't have a good choice. He didn't have a good choice here about what to do with Jesus. So Pilate knew the right thing to do, but in Mark 15:15, he said that he was willing to content the people. That word content means to satisfy or to please. He wanted to satisfy or to please the people, even though he knew that was not the right thing to do. And can I say this to us this morning here as Christians, as the children of God, if you will make a mistake every time in your Christian life, when you make that choice dependent upon that the fact that you want to please the people, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to have trouble when making everybody happy becomes important in your life. You're going to be a failure as a Christian. Is that not right? When you want to make everybody else happy, there used to be a song back when I was a kid. Ricky Nelson used to sing it. You can't please everybody, so you got to please yourself. And that's not even true. You can't please anybody. Pleasing yourself is not the right thing. You better make sure that what you do is pleasing unto God. That's the main one that we have to please. They said, Peter and John said, ought not we to please God rather than to please man? So Pilate here, he didn't want to do this, but he knew the repercussions if he didn't do that. So Pilate here, he came up in this scripture right here, he came up with three compromises that he tried to please everybody. He said, now if I can just get them, I'm going to be able to please everybody. So compromise one was that Pilate offered the Jews a choice. Now the first thing he did was that he offered these Jews a choice. He brought out a man by the name of Barabbas, and this man was mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Barabbas was mentioned. In Matthew 27:16, Barabbas is referred to as a notable prisoner. In Mark 15:7, Barabbas is described as a man who had committed murder in the insurrection. In Luke chapter 23:19, Barabbas is said for a certain sedition. And that means inciting people to rebel against the government. But we have a lot of that going on in our world today, don't we, in our nation today. But that's what he was guilty of, made it in the city for murder and was cast into prison. In John chapter 18:40, said that he was a robber. Man, what kind of an individual, what a mean individual, what a wicked individual that Pilate gave the people a choice. You either choose him, Barabbas, to be crucified, or you choose Jesus. Because listen, imagine the setting. Pilate brings both of these men before the crown. And he said, I'm going to give you a choice between the murderer, the robber, the prisoner, the man of sedition, this notable prisoner. I'm going to give you a choice between him and Jesus of Nazareth, who opened your blinded eyes, who unstopped your deaf ears, who cleansed the lepers, who rose the dead. He said, I'm going to give you a choice between him and this notable prisoner. And boy, you think that would be a no-brainer. But the Jews rose up and said, not this man, but Barabbas. Release Barabbas. Release this prisoner. So the first compromise, it failed. Give him a choice. And so he came up with compromise number two. He said, what I'll do here is, I will beat the Son of Man. I know what I'll do. I'll beat him worse than any human being has ever been beaten before. And so I've heard good preachers say this, and not that I call myself a good preacher, but I've even said this myself, that Jesus was beaten 39 times and 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. And then we do that math real quick, and we say 39 times 9 is 351. Is that not right? 351. So reason I said nine, because he said it's a cat of nine tails. So there's nine pieces of leather protruding out from that whip with bones or metal in it. And so whenever they every time that they would strap him, that would be nine lashes or stripes on his back. So they multiply that, and they say that's 351 stripes that he had. But that's not true. You say, what do you mean that's not true? And I didn't realize this until I studied this. The 39 lashes, 40 save one, that's talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, is a Jewish law, and it's not a Roman law. And what I mean by that is, there's no limit with the Romans, and Pilate was a Roman. So there was no limit whatsoever in how many stripes that Pilate could have put on the back of the Lord Jesus. So we don't know how many. He wasn't governed by that 39 times. He could have whipped Jesus as many times as he wanted to, because that was a Jewish law and it was not a Roman law. So we don't know for sure how many, but we do know this right here. That there was no other person in the history of this world who has ever experienced a beating like the Lord Jesus Christ did. Isaiah 52:14. His appearance was so marred more than any other man, and his form more than the sons of men. He has no form nor comeliness. Now I would just say this right here. I just say if you were there and you as a parent and you had your children there with you, and whenever they paraded Jesus out there in front of the crowd, in his bloody, marred, this flesh is ripped from his body, and the awful, horrible, bleeding person that he was, I'm sure that you would have covered the eyes of your children so that they wouldn't have been haunted by that vision for the rest of their life. I'm sure it was such a horrible sight to behold. But after the whipping, he marches him out there in front of those people. And so here, surely, this is what Pilate was saying in his mind. He said, surely this is enough. Surely this will satisfy the Jews. And surely they'll have compassion on this man. And surely they'll say, stop, stop, that's enough. You've punished him enough. But no, instead they cried out and said, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate's second compromise failed. And so he tried one more compromise. And that was to ridicule the Son of God. The problem the Jews had with Jesus was that he claimed to be exactly who he was, the Son of God and the King of the Jews. After Jesus was scourged, the soldiers dressed him in a robe, gave him a reed for a scepter, and put a crown of thorns on his head. And they spat on him and beat him. They mocked him and the king as the King of the Jews. Thus they fulfilled the prophecy where Jesus said, they said in Isaiah chapter 56, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon his cheek. Micah chapter 5 and verse 1. With Jesus in this condition, Pilate said to them, all right, I'm going to humiliate him. I will embarrass him in front of everybody. I'll ridicule, I'll mock, I'll make fun of him. And surely that all the Jews can see it. And maybe that will satisfy them. And I won't have to crucify him. Because I know in my heart that this man has done nothing wrong. And so he was trying to save face with the people and to get them to make the decision. But they declared that only Caesar was their king. They wanted nothing less than the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Pilate's third compromise had failed. And as we read John chapter 9, chapter 19, as I read here this morning in your hearing, I want to say to both the saved and the unsaved that are here this morning, notice what Pontius Pilate made four significant statements. We may not have time to cover all these, but he made four statements there in that concerning Jesus. And I want to call these the four truths upon his Pilate. The last truth being directed to the unsaved person. These truths are not uttered by a preacher. These truths are not uttered by a missionary or an evangelist or as a Sunday school teacher or a deacon. But they are uttered by someone who has been trying to get you. It's not been uttered by someone who's been trying to get you to come to church and be saved. So who uttered them? Who uttered these sayings that we're going to talk about? It was a lost man who to this day, 2,000 years later, he's still in a literal lake that burns with fire and brimstone, unless outside of the record of the scriptures he trusted Christ as his savior. Because the scriptures does not say that Pilate ever trusted Jesus. So we just have to assume then that he is in that literal burning hell there today. Now I want to say to us here this morning, what was those truths that he uttered? What was it that this lost man, not some preacher, not some teacher, not some evangelist, but a lost man that had just observed Jesus for himself and saw Jesus, what did he say about him? The first thing he said is, I find no fault in him. Christ's sinlessness, holiness. Now, very few people in history had much to gain by Jesus being a regular sinner as Pontius Pilate did. Now, Pilate had already crucified many Jews, and so in his time as governor over Judea, and it wouldn't have been no problem for him to crucify Jesus if Christ was just a regular sinner. It'd be no big deal to send Jesus to the cross of Calvary. But Pilate could have crucified Jesus and not had any trouble at home or at the office, his political future would have been better. So what did he do? He had to step out and say, I find no fault in Jesus. I find no fault in him. He'd watched Jesus being beaten, but he'd seen no anger in his eyes. He had watched the Jews being made, he'd watched Jesus being made fun of. He watched Jesus being ridiculed. He watched Jesus being mocked. He watched him pluck his beard out. But he did not hear no threat of vengeance. Jesus did not threaten them with vengeance. He had seen no hatred from the eyes of Jesus, but he had seen only compassion. Look what Isaiah 53:7 said. He was oppressed and was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. While Pilate walked out in front of that crowd and said something that was politically unpopular, I find no fault in him. He was echoing just exactly what this blessed book says. Man. He was spotless. He committed no sin. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? Isaiah 53:9 says that he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, because he had done no violence, neither were there any deceit in his mouth. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But look here what he's saying. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Pilate said exactly what this book says. I find no fault in him. I want everybody to know, I've watched him being beaten. I've watched him being ridiculed. I've watched him being mocked. And I tell you that I can't find one single fault in this man called Jesus. This statement echoes through the halls of history. It's just as true today as when Pilate uttered it 2,000 years ago. I find no fault in him. Amen. This statement by a lost pagan political is a problem for every atheist and every agnostic today. They trying to find fault, and that's all they ever do, is trying to find fault in Jesus, or they're trying to find fault in Christians today. And so it's a problem for every Muslim. It's a problem for every person who doubts the virgin birth and the resurrection. Yes. Listen, for 2,000 years ago, for 2,000 years they've searched, and they studied, and they made archaeological digs. But they couldn't find one fault, not one little error, not one mistake in our Lord Jesus Christ. If they had found fault, I guarantee you that it would have been published on every television station. It would have been published on every radio station. There'd have been books written about it. There'd been articles in the newspaper. But they could not uncover anything that would prove that there was Jesus ever did anything wrong. Right. He was perfect. He was without sin. And Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Man. I absolutely find no fault. I serve today, and you that are here that are saved, we serve a sinless, holy Savior. And I would say to any unsaved person that's here today, I'm not offering, and in Jesus, I'm not offering you a good prophet. I'm not offering to you a pretty good teacher. I'm offering to you today as your Savior, the perfect, sinless Son of Almighty God. That's who wants to be your Savior. And so the first truth of Pilate was, I find no fault in him. The second truth was, here, right here, behold the man. Christ's substitutionary humanity. We're not saved because Jesus Christ was perfect, even though he had to be perfect in order to save us. But we're saved because he robed himself in human flesh and came down to die on an old rugged cross. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not mockery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, as made in the likeness of man. And been found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He provided salvation when he took upon himself the robe of flesh and paid the price for our sins. Now we get into some deep theological study right here. And so some of this area is, and people says, what part of Jesus was man? And what part of Jesus was God? Some theologians want to divide him in two sections and say this was his human side and this was his divine side. There is a theological term, and it's called a hypostatic. Hypostatic. How about that? An old country boy like me knows a word like that. Hypostatic. Hypostatic. That is a word, hypostatic union, that basically says that Jesus was as much God as if he'd never been man, and he was as much man if he'd never been God. So that's what that term says. That's what it means. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man at the exact same time. Is that not right?
Amen.
And so he was all God and he was all man.
Yes.
You say, preacher, that doesn't add up. Neither does the virgin birth or the resurrection. I can't explain those either. I don't know how a baby can be born without an earthly father. I don't know how someone can rise from the dead. I can't explain it, but I just accept it by faith, don't you? I just accept it by faith. I can't explain the hypostatic union, but it's real. It's real. We talk about God eternality. We talk about how can he not have a beginning and how can he never have an end. Boy, you try to sit down and figure that one out, you'll go crazy. How can God not have a beginning? He had to start somewhere. No, he didn't. God didn't have no beginning. He's not going to have no end. He's from everlasting to everlasting.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.